Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and a very warm welcome to the R Systems Q3 FY 2019 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Kumar Gaurav, AVP Finance and Accounts, R Systems. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Ali. On behalf of R Systems, I welcome all participants to Quarter 3 2019 earnings conference call. We have senior management of R Systems with us in this call. We will start the call with opening remark on the performance of the company by Mr. Rekhi, followed by financial overview by Mr. Nand, and business overview by Mr. Abhiraj. Thereafter, we will have a closure statement by Mr. Rekhi. Subsequently, we will open up for a Q&A session. Before I hand over, let me read out the customary disclaimer statement on behalf of the company. Investors are cautioned that this presentation contains certain forward-looking statements that involve risk and uncertainties. Company undertakes no obligation publicly to update or revise any such statements. These statements may undertake revisions because of new information, future events, or otherwise. Actual results performance could differ from those expressed or implied in such forward-looking statements. Now, I am handing over to Mr. Rekhi for his opening comments. Thank you. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Kumar. First of all, good morning to everybody, and thank you for joining this investor call for the third quarter of 2019. First of all, I would like to present an overview of R Systems for the benefit of all those who are joining us in this conference for the first time. R Systems was established in 1993 in California as a software engineering company and is now spread across three continents with 16 development and service centers worldwide. R Systems delivers digital transformation services with new types of innovation and creativity to businesses in various industries: technology, telecom, digital media, healthcare and life sciences, finance and insurance, and retail and e-commerce. Our deep industry domain knowledge, combined with our expertise in big data, advanced analytics, AI mobility, IoT, and cloud, help in transformation of businesses in this digital age. During the first 9 months of 2019, we reported revenue of rupees 596.50 crores or $85.2 million, as against 507.43 crores or $75.6 million during the same period last year. There is a healthy growth of 18% driven by strong demand for digital services and product engineering services. The revenue from digital initiatives have grown 23% year-on-year and now contributes over 40% of our consolidated revenues. We added 15 key accounts during the last 9 months, out of which 3 to 4 have potential to become a million-dollar-plus accounts. The EBITDA for this period was 8.6% as against 7.8% last year. However, quarter three was impacted by ramp down in our BPO customer, primarily due to strategic restructuring at customer end. We are still working with this customer, but with lesser volumes. The growth in product engineering and digital businesses has helped to reduce its impact. We reported about 8% EBITDA during quarter three, which is a notch below the normalized EBITDA for the 9 months period. We are confident to stabilize our EBITDA in the next 1 or 2 quarters. We served $27 million plus customers during quarter three, including 6 customers contributing $3 million plus revenues on a run rate basis. We added 5 key customers during the quarter. We have received SEZ authorities approval for setting up of a new SEZ unit to support the growth in product engineering and digital businesses. We have a strong balance sheet with shareholder funds of rupees 333 crores and cash and bank balances of rupees 192 crores. I will now hand over to Nansardana, our CFO, to provide you a detailed financial analysis.
Thank you, Mr. Rekhi. Good morning to all. Thank you, everybody, for attending the call. Hope everyone had the opportunity to review our performance of quarter three. Let me go into detail of each line item of profitability statement. As Mr. Rekhi said, during first 9 months of 2019, we reported revenue of rupees 596.50 crores or $85.2 million as against rupees 507.43 crores or $75.6 million during same period last year. Our revenue has grown by 17.5%. Digital services and product engineering services have been major drivers for this growth. Now I'll run you through this Q3 numbers in detail. Revenue for the quarter was rupees 197.4 crores or $28.1 million, quarter-on-quarter decrease of 2.67% and year-on-year increase of 5.9% in rupee terms. Quarter three revenue was mainly impacted by ramp down in a BPO process due to strategic restructuring at customer end, which has also resulted in reduction in BPO counts by 132. However, we have added 124 employees in IT side during first 9 months of 2019. We have added 5 key customers during the quarter. Getting down to gross margin, it was 33.88% compared to 34.90% last quarter. Reduction of 1.02% is mainly due to ramp down in revenue, which has also impacted our utilization. This to some extent is offset by higher number of billable days and rupee depreciation. However, for the 9 months ended September 2019, the gross margin has improved from 32.34% to 34.15%. Getting down to SG&A expense line, SG&A expenses decreased quarter on quarter by rupees 96 lakhs. It was rupees 51.50 crores in this quarter compared to rupees 52.46 crores last quarter. The decrease is mainly due to H-1 visa expenses booked in last quarter as offset by an increase in conservative provision for doubtful debts. EBITDA in the quarter was rupees 15.37 crores compared to rupees 18.32 crores last quarter. Quarter 3 EBITDA was 7.8% as again 9% during last quarter. For the 9 months ended September 2019, we have achieved EBITDA of 8.6% as against 7.8% EBITDA during same period last year. With the present pipeline and disciplined execution, we are confident to further improve EBITDA in coming quarters. Getting down to depreciation, the total expense was rupees 4.51 crores compared to rupees 4.46 crores last quarter. Other income in this quarter was rupees 3.51 crores compared to rupees 2.81 crores in last quarter. Other income mainly consists of interest income and exchange gains and losses. Interest income for the quarter was rupees 1.92 crores compared to rupees 1.7 crores last quarter. The exchange gain during the quarter is rupees 1.18 crores compared to exchange gain of rupees 78 lakhs last quarter. At the end of the quarter, we have a total forward cover of $19.65 million with average rate of 73.22 and euro cover of $3.30 million with average rate of 84.22. This has already been marked to market at closing rate of 30th September. Our tax expense was rupees 3.02 crores in this quarter as against rupees 4.64 crores in last quarter. Lesser effective tax rate is due to reduced corporate taxes in India and ramp up in SEG facility. Net profit after tax was rupees 10.91 crores or $1.55 million compared to rupees 11.61 crores or $1.67 million last quarter. Resultant EPS for the quarter is 91 paisa. Getting down to the asset side in the balance sheet, Total receivable at the end of quarter were rupees 125.07 crore compared to rupees 127.06 crores at the end of last quarter. The receivable in terms of DSO were 57 days as at this quarter and compared to 63 days as at last quarter. Cash balances were rupees 192 crores compared to rupees 183 crores at the end of last quarter. We have been constantly generating cash from the business, which is reflecting in higher cash balances. Our shareholder fund were rupees 333 crores at the end of this quarter. With this, let me hand over to Avirag for a review of operations.
Thank you, ma'am. Thanks, everybody, for being on the call. Would like to give a brief flavor of our global operations. We continue to focus on digital transformation for select key verticals like telecom, technology, finance and insurance, healthcare, retail, and e-commerce. Our digital offering includes cloud, Salesforce, data speech analytics, robotic process automation. We see a lot of potential in this area with our existing as well as new prospects. On cloud, we work on all the leading platforms to include Amazon, Microsoft, and Google. We have strengthened our sales team and our relationship with this cloud provider, and we see a great potential ahead in this area. Data and speech analytics side, machine learning and artificial intelligence continue to be a focus area for us. We have spent a lot of effort over the last few years, and we see good traction with our existing clients and opportunities ahead of us. We have built a strong Salesforce practice with many live clients now and a lot of potential opportunity ahead of us. Mobility, we are working on, you know, all the leading technology to include Android, iOS, hybrid web apps, and a lot of opportunities. Almost every client is looking for, you know, something on the mobile or analytics. So there's a lot of cross-sell and upsell opportunity in this area for us. We had 5 key wins this quarter under product lifecycle management. A USA-based retail solution company has engaged our system for their digital transformation for its existing technology to enhance shopping experience. They are into retail domain. Another company, which is a voice solution provider in North America, has engaged our system to enhance their voice portal along with enriching user interface for their mobile application. Third company in product side is a leading provider of a satellite communication company, which provides voice and satellite phone services in US. They have engaged our system to enhance their web portal and the user experience on that. In Asia Pacific, Singapore Arm, one of the leading company, has engaged ECNet to implement vending sales management solution to automate supply of goods to multiple locations. In ECNet, and Singapore, we sell, you know, all the Infor and Microsoft user business, so we will be using one of them. Another company, which is a contact lens manufacturer, has awarded IBIS to implement Microsoft Dynamics cloud version to automate its operation globally. In terms of headcount, actually we have lowered this quarter from 2,469 in last quarter to 2,347 this quarter. And reduction is primarily in our BPO division. For IT services, we have actually added 140 people during 2019. So we have added resources in the technology side, and this quarter we have reduced in BPO. Our utilization has decreased also from 78.45 to 76.95. Because of our reduction in BPO, this has affected our utilization in this quarter. And then quarterly geography basis, US contributes 62.6, Europe 14%, Southeast Asia 16%, and rest of the world 7.3%. Client concentration, top 10 client contribute 31.3, and with the largest client 5.8%. With a brief overview, I hand over to Mr. Reki for his closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Avirag. Let me sum up. Results for the 9 months have been satisfactory with 18% revenue growth along with margin improvements. Product engineering and digital businesses have been fueling our growth. Quarter three had some challenges, mainly due to ramp down at one BPO customer. We have a strong sales pipeline in product engineering and digital businesses, which will help to offset this and grow faster. We continue to partner with customers for their successful digital transformation. We are maintaining a strong balance sheet to invest for growth. This brings us to the end of our presentation today, and we will hand you back to the organizers for questions, your questions and answers.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on your touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. A reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may please press star and one at this time. Participants, to ask a question, please press star and one. The first question is from the line of Jagdishwar from Japa Investment Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, sir. I have two questions. One is with respect to the Noida facility which you had started, I think, a couple of years ago. What is the sort of utilization level there? Has it been fully utilized? Because I guess 200 crore of additional revenue was expected from that new facility. And second question is with respect to your thought process about what's the kind of long-term growth plan you have in mind? Let's say 3 to 5 years of Kegar, what do you have in mind? That's it from my side.
Mr. Jagdishwar, regarding this Noida facility, we are in Noida since 2000. So we were earlier operating from our Noida facility, which is close to 80,000 square feet. 3 years before, we expanded into SEZ. So we had the new 250-seater capacity at SEZ, which we started 2.5 years before. Early this year, we started another SEZ facility with 350 seats. In fact, we have mentioned in today's presentation that we have set up another SEZ unit with another 400 seats. So our original Noida facility is fully occupied. That's how we went to SEZ facility. The SEZ first facility of 250 seats was occupied long back. The additional 350 seats capacity which we started at start of this year is almost complete. And we have already kind of started the process of one more unit with 400 seats, which we propose to start sometime in January. So so we have some capacity available, which will start operational, from January onwards. Coming on to your point on long-term growth plans, I think we have been growing for last few years, around 10 to 15%. And digital and product engineering business, which is our core business, and which is done mostly from our Noida center as well as from our Eastern Europe centers, is doing very well. And in fact, the growth there is much more than 15% because to some extent our Singapore business and staffing business in the US has not grown that much. Mr. Rekhi, would you like to touch upon our long-term plan for 3 to 5 years?
Sure. As you said, that we have planted the right seeds. So if I look at organic as well as inorganic growth, on the organic side, we have been growing close to 15%. And we have cash of 200 crores. So So I think within the next 4 years, we should be close to $200 million. That's what our hope is, and we are working towards that.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, we would like to remind participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Dheeraj Sachdev from Roha Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, my question is slightly with respect to legacy. If I look at last 5-6 years, we have been pretty stagnant kind of growth barring the last 3 quarters. You know, somewhere close to 600 crore we achieved way back in 2013. And even the EBITDA growth, in fact, EBITDA had a degrowth and shrunk massively over the last few years, barring the last 3 quarters. Plus, besides that, EBITDA margins are at about 8% or so, which is not meaningful. While we are preserving cash, our return on capital employed or equity is lower than the peers. Can you just tell me what has been the transformation or learnings in the last few years, and how are we reshaping the organization to a next level?
Mr. Dheeraj, you are right. In 2015, we reported revenue of 605 crore. What has happened is, our system had grown over the years through various acquisitions. And sometime in 2014 and 13, we realized that some of the business are non-core to us. Two of the business which were non-core to us were like the product business, which was doing out of our Pune and Chennai office. This was a, we had our own product in banking and finance. We divested that business in 2015. In fact, we had Europe BPO, on-site Europe BPO business, which was operated out of Netherlands and France office. We divested that business as well. So the impact of these divestment was, you know, our revenue fall in 2016 and 2017. It was just trying to cover up the reduction in the revenue. Coming 2018, if you see, we have grown around 12%. In 2019, as I just now said, the first 5 months, we have grown 15%. I think 12 to 15% we are growing, and as I mentioned in my answer to the previous question, to some extent our Singapore business and on-site staffing business has been kind of stable due to economic reason, due to Trump policies. But the core product engineering and digital business, which is done out of our Noida office and Eastern Europe office, that has been actually growing more than 20%. So we feel quite positive about the business, especially the newer technology business, digital business. In fact, our CTO is along with me. I would like him to talk a little bit about the digital initiative which we have taken in recent quarters.
Sure, Nanji, thank you. You know, also what Nan said, in addition to that, what I would say over the last 3 to 4 years, we are transforming our business to the new age technology or to the digital. So as a result, a lot of investment has gone in, a lot of R&D effort has gone in, and now we are sitting a good practice in the digital space to include cloud or, you know, artificial intelligence, machine learning, RPA, Salesforce, and we have established ourselves well in these practices with good reference clients. So I think we are poised for a good growth in these areas as, you know, in next few quarters or years ahead of us. That is what I would say, Nandi.
So just to add on that, Dheeraj, in 2016 and 15, we reported close to 12% EBITDA. As Avirag just now mentioned, we have invested heavily in newer technologies. We have invested organically into domain expertise, new sales hirings. Just to tell you, in the last 18 months, we would have hired at least 10 critical, you know, sales and pre-sale and domain expertise people who are kind of helping us grow our digital practice. So this is one reason to answer your second question that EBITDA has been a little bit muted. And also, you see, in this quarter, if you notice, our utilization is 77%, which is 1.5% lesser compared to last quarter. I tell you, it is not very difficult for us to operate at 80-81%. So 3 to 4% margin we have, and as soon as the utilization improves, it straight away reflects into EBITDA. So there is a 3 to 4% bandwidth which can easily be kind of complemented by increasing our utilization. But you know, we consciously try to have some bench, some spare resources, and keep on investing more in new technologies because it's a people's business. So if you know we keep on getting new contracts, and if we do not have the right people and some spare people, we lose on the business. So this is one. And secondly, you know, the growth, though we have been growing at 12-15%, I think there is a room of improvement in that. And as soon as, we start growing in higher double digits, this will also reflect in EBITDA. About the exchange rate, I mean, we do not have any control on our exchange rate. I mean, for the last 1.5 years, since March 18, rupee has been depreciating between 3 to 4% on an annual basis, which is helping. But if you notice, in 2017 and first quarter of 2018, rupee actually appreciated, so which had a negative impact on our profits. So we are working on all these factors, whatever is in our control, utilization, growth. We are aggressively working on that, trying to be a more relevant company, more client-centric company. And about exchange rate, this is not in our control. So that is the answer to your question. Hope I am able to satisfy you.
No, I'm sorry to come back, but it is not fully that time. But I was actually looking at more deeper introspection of learnings from the management in the last 10 years or so. We have more than 25 years of existence. We have 16 ODCs. And we are still at sub 1,000 crores or 600-700 crores. What has been the issues, learnings, whether it's the acquisition, delayed technology, product ramp-up not happening, salespeople not getting invested at the right time, at the right place? I mean, what has been those issues of the past is what I'm asking you, where if you can spell out, and which is not going to be the case going forward.
Let me give you one of them. There are many learnings. One is that we feel that we need to learn the industry and the domain. So if you want larger orders, larger contracts, knowledge of the industry and domain is very important. So that is something we invested in. And as they've been telling you, on various technologies also we've invested in. So those are the things that we've learned and we are doing.
Just to add to that, Dheeraj, as you said, we are spread across the globe. We have 16 development center offices, several offices. Actually, it is an advantage for us. So, based on the geographical spread we have, we can easily be, whatever our target, Mr. Rishi, is a 200 million company without adding, new geographies. So, in a way, we are all poised, all set for the new level of growth. And of course, at the present level, our FGN is a little higher, and that is impacting our EBITDA. I mean, why we have not been able to do that? Yes, a lot of learnings have happened, and now I think we are all set our plan for next 3 to 5 years to grow aggressively.
And remember, as Nandan pointed out, there were some two businesses which were not core. Like one was a product business, and when you mix a product business with a services business, it is very, very tough. So we had to let go of that, and that caused a dip in revenue and EBITDA for us. So that dip has also got to be covered and offset by new growth. So I think there is some amount of learning, and we should do even better and satisfy our shareholders more.
Sure. I only hope that now the new businesses are there. We are fairly focused on, and it's not going to be like we set up a BPO, we set up a product, and then eventually instead of scaling up, we ramp down. I don't think that's going to be the case in new emerging businesses that we are focusing on, including digital.
That is our plan.
So, thank you so much. All the best.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants: anyone who wishes to ask a question may please press star and one at this time. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. The next question is a follow-up from the line of Jagdishwar from Japa Investment Advisors. Please go ahead.
Just one recent, the event or which has been happening in terms of consolidation of the promoter holding. It had happened, I think, a year ago also, some GM Solutions, and recently we saw some event. So what is the thought process of the promoter in consolidating these holding levels? And I worry how much of time is invested in terms of all these miscellaneous activities. So what's the thought process in terms of, this getting, meaningful contribution to the business of the R Systems Limited?
Jagdishwar, it is just a technical restructuring. Just to answer your specific question, GM Solution was owned by Mr. Reki and his family. So Mr. Reki and his family were owning the GM Solution, and GM Solution had a shareholding in R System. So we have, through a court process, kind of made this holding direct. It's a simplification of structure. There is no time devoted or anything. It's a very simple, simplification of, cross-holding. You just need to find an application in NCLT. So there is no time or there is no, as such management bandwidth looked upon, devoted on that. So it's not it's a time devoted. It's just simplification of the, promoter holding. Even there is another promoter, Mr. Reki also holds shares through Right Match Holding, which is a Mauritius company. Again, the same thing. His family owns that. So now we will be merging Right Match Solution into our system. Again, he will hold the shares directly. He is not devoting any time, to be honest with you. I am not devoting any time on that. It's just lawyers. We are just doing it. And all these expenses are borne by GM Solution and Right Match Holding. So nothing to worry on this.
So what's the thought process? Is there some taxation issues, some cash flow issues at the promoter level? Why it is happening? Is there a cash outgo from the promoter side just to avoid that simplification of holding structure is happening, or what's the thought process?
Jagdishwar, very simplistically, supposing you declare a dividend.
Okay.
The dividend will come to GM Solution. Now, from GM Solution, dividend will go to Mr. Reki. If you cancel GM Solution, it will directly go to him. Ultimately, if you do that, you have to pay dividend tax at GM Solution level. Another 20% tax goes on that. So all these things are kind of, removed when you have a direct holding.
Okay. All right. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may please press star and one at this time. Participants, to ask a question, please press star and one. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. As there are no further questions, I now hand the conference over to Mr. Reki Singh for closing comments.
I want to thank all of you for joining this conference call, and also for all your questions and guidance. And we come to the end of the this conference call, and I hand you back to the organizers to formally close it.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of R Systems, that concludes this conference call for today. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.